Good Saturday morning to everybody, and welcome to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show, along with the Director of Family Services, Chris Radlitz. I am Gary Byron. Chris, good morning, brother.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Not too bad. Thank you for asking. Not bad. Listen, I'm just glad that the weather is nice. We're unmasked. This life is good right now. Let me knock on wood, because anything could change. I realize
mask?
That.
What's a mask?
Exactly. What is a mask? Well, what is it? We've been only wearing them for about a year plus, but it's
well,
good
you know, it's funny though. You get to the point where you kind of just say, "Okay, so I got to wear a mask." Okay. Fine. That's it. You wear the mask. I mean, you know, I got to the point after so long with it that it's like, okay, I just get out and I'm going into place and I just pull out the mask and I put it on.
My issue is that I'd forget it and I have to, oh man, where did I do it?
Oh, I know when you got to go back to the car.
Yeah.
I hate when I walk across the parking lot. You get there and there's the sign that hits you in the face and you go, oh, you hit that moment, you slap your forehead and you got to walk back into the car and you got to go get the mask. And yeah.
I had to get one thing.
Yeah,
I once walked into a store. I was getting one thing, and I didn't realize it. This is what happened. I walked into the store, picked up the one thing at the shelf. Were there people staring at me? Could have been. I wasn't even paying attention. This is probably last fall. I pick it up. I'm walking to the front of the store to pay for what? I'm in the express aisle. When I say I'm going in for one thing, some people say they're going to get one thing and they end up with 10.
Eight.
Nope, literally one thing. And then finally, the person that says, you know, you need to be wearing your mask. And I look, I'm like, oh, well, hold on a second. And I didn't have my mask on me in any pocket, nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's back in my car. And they're like, well, we're sorry. And I'm like, so I'm ready. There's like two people in front of me in line. I'm only going to be in this. I will be out of the store in less time it's going to take me to leave the line.
Go get my mask.
Come back. Go back to the end of the line. Okay.
All right. You notice this beautiful jacket that I'm wearing?
Yes.
Okay.
A radio station.
And you notice the zipper pocket here?
Of course. Oh,
I have three jackets like this, and that's where the mask always stays.
You know, I don't have mine today because it's so beautiful.
I'm not wearing it. I always wear it when I get out of the car, so I always have my mask.
That's, you know what? Where were you? I could take a lesson from you. That's a great place to keep it.
It is. It's a perfect place to keep it because I never forget it. And this way I have it. And you know.
You know. What a busy time that we've actually had over the past couple of weeks. Let's see here. There's been two blessings of Our Lady of Guadalupe sections by the bishop in two of your cemeteries. I know the celebration of Mary during the month of May and Pentecost Sunday, which is, I think, coming up tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it is.
And let's not forget the introduction of the Catholic funeral plan. You know, Chris, let me just go there for one quick second, and I'm going there for a good reason. It's because we always seem to run out of time during our conversation. So before we get into the nitty-gritty of today's show, let's start with a reminder to our listeners of the Catholic funeral plan and how people can find out more about this service. So please tell us a little bit about it.
Sure. So the Catholic Funeral Plan is a faith-based pre-need plan that allows Catholic families to plan their funeral arrangements in advance. And the plan ensures that when you die, the funeral arrangements you've selected will be delivered at no additional cost to your family and in accordance with the liturgical traditions of the church. One of the beauties of this is that when you sign up for the plan, there's a whole team of people that are part of our quote-unquote claims department, so that if someone passes, they get a card. They get a card that they can keep in their wallet, one that they give to their spouse, one that they put in their will, so that if when they pass, all somebody does is take that card, make one phone call, everything is taken care of. The funeral home is contacted, the flowers are taken care of, the church is contacted,
everything.
The readings are done, the music that you want, everything's taken care of. Family doesn't have to suffer through all of these decisions, and it's completely taken care of. And, of course, one other benefit is the fact that the underlying financial instrument that allows this for families is a policy, an insurance policy. So, like, if you sign up for the plan and, you know, you pass away in 2 years, it's all paid for, okay? It's all paid for. Everything's paid for. So it's quite an amazing plan. And the way it works is that when you enroll in the plan, you select the funeral home of your choice, which you can change at any time, I might add. So the selections that you make at the time that you sign up are not forever. you can call us and change any aspect of it at any time. Let's say.
That's key.
It is, and I'll tell you why. Let's say here we are in Connecticut, okay, and for some reason we decide, you know what, I don't want to retire in Connecticut. I want to retire in Florida.
Well, a lot of people are doing that.
Right? So you go down to Florida, and now you're like, well, okay, I'm going to use a funeral home here in Florida. So all you do is call us, and we make the change. It's a national plan. So you don't have to be worried. You're not locked into any single service provider. You're not locked in geographically to any location. So you have this flexibility, and that's a great benefit to a family. So you not only do you choose a funeral home, but you determine all the arrangements that best suit you, whether you're having a visitation period, you know, what type of a casket you want, what type, all these little aspects of what are provided by funeral homes and part of a funeral, you choose. Not the specific items, just to make sure that you have enough funds put away for them and that you know you have a general idea of what they cost.
I have a question for you, if you don't
sure.
mind, pertaining to this. Let's say this summer, I get this.
Yeah.
All right. And I get it at my age right now.
Right.
And I pay for the whole thing. You say, Gary, it's going to be X amount of dollars. And I'm like, you know, I'll just get
Done.
All my savings and here yeah. one time only. I know you have payment plans and the whole thing. I pay it all at once.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know when I'm going to die. I could
right.
live another 40 years. I don't
right.
know. All right, so whenever it is, let's say I do live 30, 40 more years.
Right.
The costs are going to go up, though.
Right. And so does the face value of the instrument.
Right.
So you have a growth that occurs.
So but,
when I make the purchase. Right.
So my 30 years from now, 40 years from now, the people who are responsible for making that phone call,
yep.
do they have to then pay the difference of what I paid for back today? And what the actual cost
no,
will
the
be
plan
40
grows
years ago.
Every year.
Okay.
So the plan grows every year. And the way that it works is it's since it is an underlying instrument, which is an insurance policy, the face value, let's say that you decide that everything that you want for a funeral is going to cost you $15,000. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the underlying instrument is a $15,000 policy. Well, 20 years from now, that $15,000 policy is probably worth $30,000. Okay. Or $25,000. So it keeps pace with inflation as it increases in general within the industry. All right. So that's really what we try and gauge it by, and which is the typical inflationary costs within the industry.
This is an incredible opportunity to take advantage
it
of this.
Is. Listen,
this is a phenomenal product.
There is nobody out there in the entire country that offers something like this. And the biggest thing is because of the service that's provided at the time of death. One phone call and everything's taken care of. And on top of that, funeral homes love it because they get paid within 48 hours. And the money that's left over, the family gets within 48 hours. Okay, so there's no waiting weeks and months for policies to be processed with insurance companies and all this stuff. Okay, it all gets done almost immediately. And the family has nothing else to do. They make that one phone call. Everything's taken care of. That service in and of itself is so unique. There is nobody that does anything like it. So when you sign up for the plan, you have a nice long discussion with a family service advisor, mm-hmm. and you choose all these things. And if you don't know what you want right away, it's not a problem. You sign it up. You sign up for the plan, and you can come back a couple days later. You can call them on the phone and say, you know what I thought about, and this is what I want.
Outstanding.
Look, the benefits to the families for this, there's just so many of them. You know that all of your elements, and really, you know, the whole deep underlying basis of this is preserving the Catholic rites of Christian burial. And that's what this does. Families no longer have to worry about being able to afford it, okay, because they have the instrument behind it that's going to take care of it when it's needed. So that's a big part of it. And then you also know for a fact that your wishes are going to be carried out. There's not going to be arguments among your family members.
Mm-hmm.
There's not going to be any, you know, one person walking in and saying, no, we're going to do this. No, we're going to do this. No, it's done. It's finished. Everything is set up. Everything is done. And it gets carried out according to the wishes of the deceased.
What a product. I mean, really.
It really is.
I don't want to overstate it, but it's so unique. I've never heard or seen of anything like this.
There's nothing like it. There is nothing like this in the market. It is completely unique, and it is Catholic, which I'm thrilled about.
And I know we're going to be talking about this plan in the future shows, but it's always a good reminder to know that your team of family service advisors are ready to help.
Really, the way someone gets started with the Catholic funeral plan is just like stop in one of the cemeteries or call and talk to a family service advisor. You know, they're very well trained in this, and they'll be able to answer any of your questions and, you know, at least give you the information that you need. Everybody says information is power, and it's true.
Oh,
at least now you'll have information to know what is one of the options available to you that makes sense for you and your family.
You know, and folks, if what we just described, or really what Chris just described, if that appeals to you, I'll give you the toll-free number now. I mean, it's 800-505-0080. Again, toll-free, 800-505-0080. Let's switch gears for a moment. Let's talk about tomorrow. I think I just mentioned this a moment ago, Pentecost Sunday. This is one of the most important Sundays in the liturgical calendar.
Absolutely it is. As a matter of fact, after Easter Sunday, Christmas is the second greatest feast on the Christian liturgical calendar, but Pentecost Sunday is not far behind. Okay.
So it goes Easter Sunday,
Christmas, and then pretty much Pentecost is right next to Christmas.
Not even Palm Sunday, huh?
No.
Oh.
And the reason is, if you think about it, is because that is the birth of the Catholic Church. That is considered the birth of our church.
Okay. Now it makes sense.
So Pentecost Sunday comes 50 days after Easter. And more interestingly is it comes 10 days after the ascension of Christ into heaven. So you remember last Thursday we had Thursday prior was the Feast of the Ascension.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's when Christ was taken up into heaven, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when he left, he told the apostles, you know, hang around here in Jerusalem because I'm sending you the counselor, the advocate, the paraclete. Okay? So they didn't even know what that meant. So when he was ascended into heaven, they all got together and they were basically hanging out for 10 days in this room, afraid for their lives, because they had seen what kind of persecution was happening to followers of Christ, okay? So they were kind of scared and nervous and they didn't know what to do. And, I mean, try and put yourself in their shoes. Mm. You know, here's this guy they've been following around for 3 years. The guy's doing miracles. Next thing you know, he's dead. Next thing you know, he rises from the dead. And now he gets ascended into heaven. And like, well, okay, what about us? You know, we're still here. So what do we do? What are we supposed to do? Well, Pentecost Sunday is the day that the Holy Spirit comes down from heaven in the physical form of fire. And little balls of fire fall on the heads of each of the apostles. And they receive the Holy Spirit. And what's fascinating about that is that all of a sudden, all of the apostles were infused with the knowledge of every word that Christ had ever spoken while he walked on earth. So their fear and trepidation was completely wiped out because they immediately had the truth. When they received all of the meaning and words of Christ through the form and the gift of the Holy Spirit, that they lost all fear. There was no more fear. Now they felt emboldened because they knew the words. They knew they could go out. And they knew that their job was to go out and proclaim the glory of God, okay? So on that first Pentecost Sunday, when they went out and started talking to crowds, here's the interesting thing about Pentecost Sunday. It coincides with the ending of Passover. It's actually a Jewish holiday in itself also, okay? The end of Passover coincides with Pentecost Sunday. Not necessarily Sunday, but with Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
So in the town of Jerusalem, you have Jews from all over, from different countries even, different areas of that region who spoke different dialects, who spoke different languages. They didn't even understand each other. So in here now, the apostles get out and start preaching, and all these people are standing there going, wait, how come he's talking in this language? How come he's talking in that? We speak different languages, yet we both understand him. So that whole idea of speaking in tongues— that was another gift that was given to them. So when they started preaching and talking, everybody who heard them in their own language, which was an immediate miracle that most of the people there recognized. And on that day alone, there was over 3,000 people that were converted. So it's truly amazing to see how powerful, when the Holy Spirit chooses to work, how powerful he can be and what the end result is so powerful.
I hope you don't mind this question. I say that because it might be a stupid question, but, you know, we've heard the expression of speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
What exactly is that?
Well, it really goes back to Pentecost Sunday, where when the apostles went out and they spoke, they call it speaking in tongues, because when they spoke, everybody heard the words proclaimed in their own language.
But okay? People speak in tongues now.
Yeah, that's a whole different thing. Okay. You're getting into the Pentecostal, charismatic type movement where people talk about speaking in tongues. Okay.
Okay.
And yeah, no,
well, I don't know.
I know, because most people are unfamiliar with it. So it's, there's this thing where people are praying so intently that they fall down. Okay. And they call that being slain in the spirit.
Okay.
And they get up and they start blabbering and it's like gibberish to us. Well, they call that speaking in tongues because they are so filled with God that they can't even form the words. So that what's coming out of their mouth sounds like gibberish. I'll be honest with you. I've seen and participated in some of these things. You know. I'm a practical Catholic. And I'm also very skeptical. All right? So I know. You know, I'm Thomas, you know.
Doubting
give me,
Thomas.
Give me the fingers. Let me poke my holes in, my fingers in the holes. Not quite that bad. But, you know, so there's certain things that when I see and I listen to, I kind of go, wait, okay, hold on. You know, let's be real here. So I don't believe, well, I shouldn't say I don't believe, because I have actually personally experienced some of it, and it was real to me. I mean, there was no doubt about it. But I see most of the times that, you know, I think a lot of people are just overwhelmed with this feeling of joy and feeling close to God. So they just kind of let it go. I'm not saying they're being fake.
No.
It's just that they're trying to, they let it out easier than most would.
In my early 20s, I had a buddy of mine who invited me to his church, and I was going to go. I mean, just for the sake of going to have the experience of being exposed to something new, something different. And he goes, well, they speak in tongues. I didn't know what that meant.
Yeah.
I ended up not going because I thought I was going to be attending a service that's in a foreign language. Pardon my naivete, folks.
Yeah, but that's...
But I'm in my early 20s at the time, and I politely declined, and we still remain friends. I just didn't know what that meant. So to this day, I figured since you brought it up, I'd ask you.
Yeah, if somebody came to me in my 20s and said, oh, I'd like to invite you to the service, I'm like, you know, okay,
yeah,
I'm kind of cool with it. Oh, and by the way, people are going to be falling over and they're going to be speaking in tongues. What? Excuse me? What does that mean?
See, that's the exact... You and I are so much alike. It's exactly
that's
what
true.
I was
in my
thinking.
20s, I was like, I was a Catholic, and sure. I actually went to church. Uh-huh. You know, I actually was a fairly, I mean, you know, for a 20-year-old.
For a 20-year-old, right.
I was
right.
a fairly practicing kind of Catholic.
Right.
You know, some of my actions outside of the church may not have been very Catholic, but, you know, whatever.
We've all been there.
You know, we were 20s, and we were stupid and improperly catechized. Let me put it like that.
I read you.
Okay. So, yeah, no, I would have been very skeptical about all that, and I would have not been willing to participate because I would have been too scared about what kind of weird thing is going on here.
And that's why I didn't go.
And you know what? And we're Catholic, and you know what? Everything's pretty rigid with us, you know? So our Mass, you know, it's really easy to understand. Every Mass you go to, it's always the same. You do this here, you have the offertory, you have the confitory, you have the, you know, liturgy of the Word, liturgy of the Eucharist, you know, receive communion, closing prayer, blum, done. Okay? And it's always the same. And we can take comfort in that because we know that's our church. That's our faith. This is how it's structured. So you go into some of these other things, you're kind of just looking around going, well, what are we doing now? Why are we doing that? How come we're not kneeling? What do you mean you don't kneel? What? You got to kneel. You know, you're in church. Oh, it's not church. What do you mean it's not church? I don't get it.
Do we kneel? Do we stand?
I don't get it.
What are we doing?
You know, that's why people... You know, people come to our Masses if they're not Catholics, and they're always looking around going,
what are we doing now, gotta go down.
Oh, now we're kneeling. Okay, now we're kneeling. Oh, now we're going to stand up again. Boy, you guys get a lot of exercise when you go to service, huh?
Oh,
it's good stuff.
Me
I mean,
no,
I
it
love
is.
It. But.
I guess maybe the obvious next question should be maybe let's discuss the Holy Spirit. Let's go down that road.
Yeah, okay, that's it? You're throwing that at? That's your question?
I think that's more or less the obvious question
okay.
About a discussion of the Holy Spirit, I'm thinking. It kind of goes hand in hand with what we're just talking
about.
Yeah,
I think that when we talk about the Holy Spirit, the first thing we have to understand is the Trinity. I mean, so you have God the Father, you have Jesus Christ, His only Son, and you have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, mm-hmm. Okay? So just like a three-legged chair, if you remove one leg, it can't stand on its own. It kind of falls apart. So it's the same with the Trinity. So God the Father and Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit are all vital, and all three are one. All three are one. That is the great mystery of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is kind of the person who is probably the most misunderstood of the three, yet he is, I say he, right? The Holy Spirit is truly the bearer of news and the one that is the inspiration and the one that, that actually is there to offer assistance in ways we can't even think of. Think about it. When we do the Nicene Creed in church, okay, and when we're praying it, there's one section that, that says the Holy Spirit truly is the Lord, the giver of life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son. Together with the Father and the Son, he is worshipped, adored, and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets, right? All prophecy is a result of the Holy Spirit. It's the inspiration that comes from the Holy Spirit. Because you and I sitting here as humans, what are we going to prophesy? Hey, guess what? I prophesy that you're going to have breakfast tomorrow. Hey, super. That's not exactly what we're talking about. You know, we're talking about serious issues that deal with the world and with our faith, etc. So everything that is prophetic comes through the Holy Spirit. Everything. We almost look at the Holy Spirit as like the super guardian angel type.
Sure.
Except he's everywhere. Okay. It's as one of the persons of the Trinity, he bears witness to the covenant that the Lord has placed on our hearts and the laws that he's placed on our hearts, and he helps us go through our life with those, and he helps us understand them, and he helps us verbalize those things that need to be for God's greater glory.
Sure.
The Holy Spirit's never going to tell you to say something bad. The Holy Spirit's never going to tell you to do something wrong. So everything that is inspired by the Spirit is positive, it's good, and it's within the faith-filled environment.
Folks, you are listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show along with Chris Radlitz, the Director of Family Services over at the CCA. I'm Gary Byron. Let's pick up there then. What are the seven gifts?
Yeah, well,
we
talk about, and that's an interesting thing. We talk about the gifts of the Spirit, but you not only have the gifts of the Spirit, but you have the resultant acts that occur because of these gifts. And those are a direct result, again, of what the Holy Spirit can do. No action that is positive does not come through the Holy Spirit, okay? So if we talk about the seven gifts, wisdom, which is obviously knowledge and judgment about divine things, okay? The ability to judge what human affairs are in relation to divine truth. You have understanding, which is this penetrating insight that gets you to the heart of things, especially those higher truths that are part of our eternal salvation. Then you have counsel. Counsel is where we are allowing ourselves to be directed by God in matters necessary for our salvation. We listen to him. We hear. We take a good counsel, and we offer good counsel. Remember, you can't give what you don't have.
Of course.
Okay?
Yeah.
So if you're not taking good counsel from God, whether it's through the Holy Spirit, whether it's whatever it means, you can't help other people. It's impossible. Because if you don't have it in you, you can't give
it.
How can
you give it? Right.
Okay? Fortitude, which is a firmness of mind to doing good constantly and to avoid evil. Knowledge, which is the ability to judge correctly about not only matters of faith, but also the right action that occurs from those matters of faith. And piety, which is principally revering God, okay? That's how we revere God, by knowing that we have a worship, that we have a worshipful duty to God in all things. And we pay this duty and through piety, okay? And then lastly is the fear of God. And in this case, it's not...
Who's fearful of God?
Well...
I'm not.
Here's something interesting, though. If you're truly fearful of God, it means actually that you truly love God and you understand.
I'm not sure I get that.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it's a tough one to sometimes understand. If we are really fearful of God in a way because we know what he wants is good for us and we don't want to screw it up, that actually is the love of God coming through, because
right. So
that's helping us.
That I get, but
okay.
I don't understand where the word fear comes in then.
Because there's a healthy fear, okay?
Healthy fear.
Yeah, we understand that when we live our lives with a virtue and we live our lives with piety, that's very important for our salvation, all right? So is there a fear that exists that, okay, if we don't live our lives, there are consequences? Well, that's kind of what that is. So it's really, it's an amazing thing.
Okay.
The fear of God is a very powerful motivator.
I'm glad you cleared that up.
But in a way that's very kind and loving, because it's really a filial type of love of God.
Okay. I got really only time for one more question.
Okay.
Quickly, though, the role of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't just exist. It exists for a purpose.
Well, I'll tell you what. The Holy Spirit, through the power of the Spirit, we as believers are filled, sealed, and sanctified. Because that gives us everything that we ask. The Holy Spirit is the one that reveals God's truth to us. He's the one that reveals God's teaching to us. And then he guides us along the way. That's why when you get baptized, you are infused with the Holy Spirit. So from the very first entry into the Catholic Church, the Holy Spirit is with you. Again, when you receive confirmation, you now reach the next level where you not only become you're not only a Catholic, which you were at the time of your baptism, but you've now learned enough that you actually become a soldier of Christ, and you're willing to stand up and fight for the things that you've learned, and you're willing to stand up and fight and for the teachings and the truth. And this is where the Holy Spirit, again, comes to infuse you with the knowledge and the power to be able to do that. Okay. The problem that we have as humans is we have a really difficult time opening ourselves up to that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And that's where because we allow the whole world to come crashing in around us and take up that space.
I'm so glad that you've cleared that up. You actually answered a lot of my questions here today in quite articulately. Folks.
Who knew?
You do every week. Oh, stop it. Folks, if you'd like to get, if you have any questions about the Catholic Cemeteries Association, including their family funeral plan, the Catholic funeral plan, please check out this website, www.ccacem.org. Again, it's ccacem.org. I would start there. Heck, you may even have some of your questions answered right on their webpage. In fact, it could also do the opposite. It could spark other questions. If you'd like to make an appointment, and why wouldn't you after hearing all that it has to offer? I gave you the number earlier. I'm going to give it to you one more time. It's 860-505-0080. Again, 800-505-0080. You could also email this show at ccawdrc@gmail.com. For Chris Radlitz, Director of Family Services over at the Catholic Cemeteries Association, I am Gary Byron. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back with you next Saturday morning. Until then, have a good one, everybody. So long.